About BioSign and what it is and what its purpose was. And as a matter of fact, I've got to tell you that it's a humbling experience to look out in the audience because when I see and recognize many of you and know you to be at the forefront of surveillance practice. So let me tell you a little bit. Bueller wrote back in 2008, and we're fortunate, you know, to have Jim trained. He was training at Emory University and then at the CDC. He defined surveillance as the process for monitoring and reporting trends in specific health problems among defined populations. And in conducting surveillance, his observation was that there are multiple options for virtually every component that goes into a surveillance system. And that goes from the selection of the data source to the application of statistical methods to the dissemination of results. So if it was easy, anybody could do it. And that's what to keep in mind that BioSign was all about. It's all about making things easy so literally anyone could do it, particularly in low resource environments. So, to give you a little bit of the background, about 3 years ago, a company called Aptima in Woburn, Massachusetts, called us up, and I'm a paid employee of Northrop Grumman. I'm the chief scientist for public health, and basically indicated to us that they had a research grant from Army's Telemedicine and Advanced Technology Center, and that they were interested in combining what they were doing with some of the things we were doing in our research and development center here in Atlanta. And so what we're all about is applying technology to solve public health problems and leveraging not necessarily new technology, but the most proven, most appropriate technology that's available that can actually make things work better and make all of us faster and better in what we want to do in terms of public health objectives. So our applied research was around the space of providing analysts and decision makers with a visually driven workspace. And so we wanted to also have this have a minimal footprint so you could use all of the BioSign tools on the web. And we wanted to minimize the need for IT support and make this an open source type of product that people could embrace and perhaps someday take and evolve into a community and take it to the next step. So the thing that made this project a little bit different than, you know, standard R&D around technology is that Dr. Paul Picciano, who was the principal researcher of this, is a cognitive and behavioral scientist. And so what Aptima was seeking to do, they had the cognitive engineering skills and a lot of brain power around how to improve the man-machine interface. But what they needed was access to public health and public health scenarios and meaningful cases that could be modeled in their environment using their cognitive tools and their exploratory process. So what we observed is that the rapid development of technology certainly does provide a lot of opportunities for us to go and embrace new things, but there's a paucity of research around how to best present data so that it's understandable from a human intellectual viewpoint. And so Paul's thread of research, which we contributed to, was he noted that there's limited systematic testing and evaluation around the efficacy of tools that aid rapid understanding. And so if you look at the attributes of surveillance systems, and again, this borrows heavily from Jim Bueller's definition and his work, but it also recognizes some contributions made by Patrick Sullivan over at Emory University. You'll see that these are the attributes that are generally associated with surveillance systems. And, you know, sensitivity, timeliness, predictive value, so on and so forth. But where we tried to concentrate the focus of our research was actually on the last three of the attributes of surveillance systems, which are simplicity, flexibility, and adaptability. And what I'm going to show you is we had a number of variables and dimensions that we manipulated around those three things. And we got some results. Some are surprising, some are not. But it does make for an interesting speculation about how to proceed into the future. If you look at surveillance system problems today, mostly when we conduct surveillance, we are, even in the United States, doing them within relatively low resource environments. And I say that with a great deal of respect because I came out of state public health, and I can tell you that our ability to actually develop, implement, and sustain surveillance was very much tied to the funding that we received from external sources, usually CDC and the federal government. And in years when we had great funding, we were able to do great surveillance. And in years where we had less funding, we did good to great surveillance, but we did it, you know, with having to do more with less. The other thing is that as surveillance systems have become more, ubiquitous and useful, cross-disciplinary teams have become involved. And this is something that I think really represents the future of public health. We've got to have a willingness to embrace the others around us, particularly in emergency preparedness types of situations or emergency scenarios. There's many different types of users, and of course there is a lack of a standard frame of reference, and as Paul is fond of pointing out, there's a lack of a standard cognitive frame of reference for interpreting these types of data. And there's a lack of common vocabulary. And another thing, and this is particularly interesting, is that the brain seeks closure, and we develop patterns based upon limited information around the things we see. And so this geospatial, geotemporal data gaps actually takes on a lot more significance if you look at it within the context of cognitive engineering framework, because what you quickly come to understand is that different styles of thinking lead people to close the gaps in geospatial, geotemporal, missing data in different ways. And so it becomes a little bit sophisticated to look at this. And there's different problem focus. Some people are focused on the local versus the real world. And as we all know, simply adding more people doesn't, or more data resources doesn't necessarily improve the overall decision-making process out of surveillance. So in many ways, what we were doing by looking at our flexibility, simplicity, and acceptability is that we're trying to manipulate the iron triangle. And I think everybody is familiar with the iron triangle concept in surveillance, that what you're trying to strive for is to maximize the overall utility, and you want to do it at minimal cost and also at maximal speed, and you may be able to attain two of the three elements of the iron triangle, but for every offsetting investment that you try to make, or incrementalism of one of these three factors, you may actually end up with degradations in the other ones, all other things being constant. So with so many solutions, what are the real problems? All right, so from a cognitive engineering viewpoint, what we set about was, in our method, was to identify the variables that we wanted to manipulate around a certain defined set of problems. I'll tell you a little bit more about the scenarios, but I need to briskly move along. Basically, these are the study variables we manipulated. Simplified data entry, one of the BioSign tools, basically enables you to cut and paste without regard to formatting, and it figures out what the data are and presents it back to you in a way that you can do a quick drag and drop organization. and it will also normalize data types for you. So if you're trying to mix apples and oranges, it is smart enough to recognize that, and it seeks to give you some hints about how you might want to correct that. Also, in terms of visualization, it enables you to manipulate the boundaries that you want to show and the coloration of those boundaries and so on and so forth. Also, you can control the amount of data and when you update. And we thought that that might be an important thing for people to control, because if you're updating constantly, there may be an absolute threshold that you would reach that would enable actually poor decision-making, because you couldn't really see a trend developing and you wouldn't have time to stop and analyze. And so drill down analysis and the ability to collaborate and share with others are all important things. So our BioSign tool set actually goes around data entry, a drag and drop visualized toolkit that enables you to set up a workflow process from your data entry to how you want to visualize, how you want to display data, the types of visualizations and displays that you'll see in the far thing, and then manipulating the coloration or what you choose to display together. And then this last thing, and it's hard to read, but actually this is intended, and it's a standard 2x2 epidemiological table, so that you could quickly take data from the baseline and drag it and drop it into a 2x2 table and get your more common epidemiological statistics from it. And so you'll get your epi curves and depending upon the types of ratios you want to look at, you can do a lot with it. And then this last thing where the faces are blanked out, trying to enable people to look at the same thing and then discuss it in a way that would lead to an enhanced decision making. So our study design, year one was actually the construction of the tools, the formulation of the variables, construction of questionnaires. So we took that year one study, and we basically, in the overall, this is my view of the scientific pyramid with the gold standard, of course, up towards the top of being randomized control trials. I want you to understand that we really were working down more towards the bottom of the science paradigm. We were qualitative. We were looking at case studies. We were asking for opinions. We were doing some quantitative measurement, but by and large, what we were trying to do was to richly characterize, based upon qualitative variables, what people were thinking about and working within the cognitive tool set that framed the study. So conclusions and everything. The main conclusion, or a fundamental conclusion, out of analyzing how people were working with these tools and how variables were being manipulated, is that in the world of cognitive science, there's really two worldviews that emerged. The first is analysts, okay? People that need to manipulate the data, understand the data, look at it, model it, take it forward, and then consumers of the data who were really more interested in what its overall meaning was and what its implication to decision-making would be. And so our finding was that we've got these two worldviews. Both of them, and this was a little bit surprising, both worldviews were enhanced by the ability to actually get hands-on to the data and work with it themselves. So it kind of goes against the tradition that we've established to some degree, where the analysts do their work, they package it up, and then they neatly send it over to the decision makers who look at it and make decisions. And it kind of suggests that what needs to be happening is more of a dialogue between these two groups, and not just viewing the data, but interacting with it leads to improved understanding, situational awareness, and better collaboration. A fundamental finding was this, is that there is value in actually looking at the way people think and then trying to take that frame of reference of cognitive design and moving it into our space of public health to make what we're doing more effectively understood by decision makers. And so tool design around basic cognitive themes did enable first-time people, people with low training. Think of the situation where you go out to breakfast and you've got a 11 to 14-year-old with you, and you just got your iPhone. You don't know how to use it. You're thumbing through it, yet they pick it up. They understood it right away. They made use of it, and it was they were able to make sense of it. And so in some ways, the tool design around those basic cognitive themes is what we're seeing every day in taking powerful technology. I've got more technology in my iPhone in my back pocket than was available on some of the world's best computers 10 years ago. And so if you think in terms of the paradigm of taking powerful technology, packaging it in a way that it could be used in a low-resource environment, that may be the key to resolving our problem with the Iron Triangle. For our purposes and what we found that the Iron Triangle is still iron, okay? Getting the absolute quality as a goal does involve making the needed investments given where we are in order to be able to further that. However, in an absolute low resource environment on an incremental basis, and I wish I had a graph to actually show this, and I'm working something, but I just didn't have the quantitative data to be able to do it. But what our qualitative information showed us was that in very low resource environments, you got a almost exponential understanding and the ability to use these tools in a surveillance setting. And so cognitive techniques overall improve the signal-to-noise ratio. So just kind of in summary, these were the most, if when you looked at analysts and consumers, these were the things that most people seized upon that were important. And then these are the things that we believe are obtainable in low-resource environments based upon using an open-source tool set like BioSign.